Hey Potters, welcome to episode 314 of Crosspod, the podcast for all things cosplay. Happy pie episode, everybody.
Sans pie.
I would have a piece of pie for you. Yes, I would have a piece of pie for you, but I don't want to get the stuff I'm working on dirty. Because that's what happens when you work on cosplay with food. At least that's been my experience of working on cosplay with food.
I put a note in here already to get a clip art of pie to just plaster on the screen.
Yeah, I'm actually doing curtain repairs today. And of course, they're lace curtains. And so I know if I had food, that my curtains would no longer be pristine. And it's the same thing when I work on cosplay. So I can't have food whenever I'm working on stuff. I have to wait till after I'm done.
I always have water with me. Water is the one exception. I won't have anything else near me. I won't even have coffee near me when I desperately need the coffee. I'm like, nope, that needs to be five rooms over, away from everything as far as possible. Because the one time that I bring it in, it's going to spill. It's going to dribble. I'm actually going to put my paint into that or something.
I've had that happen where I didn't get it far enough away. It was away. It just wasn't far enough.
It wasn't far enough.
So that when I accidentally knocked it over, it went far enough that I had a cleanup, you know, on aisle five.
Yep.
That I had to take care of with my cosplay.
Yep.
Thankfully, it wasn't anything staining. So it wasn't like chocolate. It wasn't cherry Kool-Aid. It wasn't anything like that where it stains.
Okay.
But it was still a very panic-inducing moment where it's like... And then, after that, everything has to be 50 feet away. You have to basically build, like, an entire retaining wall just to keep everything, like, all fluids and food and anything else that can possibly get it dirty have to stay away.
Right. My thought process is, how many walls can I put between the costume and the food and the drink? And it's like, if we can do, like, 10 walls, then we're great.
We should talk about cosplay updates.
Yes. I have none, so this is all you.
Because... I don't have anything to show yet, and here's why, but I will explain. So I have nearly finished getting everything into its shelving and, you know, set up from its boxes and that sort of thing. I am missing one particular box that has a very particular bag of fabric in it that is labeled for the project I'm going to be working on, which I will be going back to my roots, and it will be something from this. So I've actually talked about it on the show before.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've heard me talk about it, then you know what it is I'm going to be working on. But I'm glad that I found this pattern because it was very hard to find in my boxes. And I have finally cut out all the pieces. I would like to say rip Joanne's twice over, once because tissue paper patterns are great. I really miss the fact that the big four were printing these in copious quantities at one point. But also because I really miss being able to go down to the fabric store and just pick up decent quality fabric in large enough quantities that I can make one of these on the weekend instead of having to order it from somewhere and hope it's the right thing, both in the dye lot and in the texture and drape. And so I am slowly going through my materials to figure out, because I know that if you're in the 501st, there are very specific materials that you're supposed to make this out of so that it is... conformant with standards. I'm not trying to get into the 501st, but I do still want it to be close. I want it to be intuitive at least, so I'm not going to be making like the Jedi tunic out of silk, for example, because that just doesn't make sense. So I'm going through and seeing how much of my different organic fabrics that I have, my cottons, my wools, that sort of thing, since that's traditionally what this is made out of, to see if I have enough to get away with making it out of what I have. Because remember, Amber's trying to use up her stash.
Yay, we like that.
I have a sneaking suspicion I have enough for the dickie and the undershirt.
Mm-hmm.
And that specific bag of fabric I am looking for is for the tabard, because it is in very specific colors from a very specific material and cut, since it is for the character. The cloak, I know I will not have enough for.
Okay.
Because that's traditionally a wool cloak, and I know I do not have that quantity of fabric. I have seen what size these pieces are when I cut out the tissue paper.
It's a lot.
I don't have enough.
It's a lot.
It is. And I don't think I have enough to make the undershirt and a pair of pants out of the same fabric. I can make one or the other. And so I'm probably going to have to go figure out if the local fabric store, which is Michael's, has what I need. Or if I need to go online and go back and review our previous episode when Joanne's was closing, and we actually went over alternatives that you can use to do things like purchase fabric. And so I may need to get some inspo from that episode, but I have already started assembling what fabrics I do have. I've already got all the pattern pieces cut out, and so I am ready to start making my muslin. I do have enough random leftover fabrics from previous patterning that I can just Frankenstein a lot of it together.
Sure.
But Rip Joanne's Part 3, I do miss when they sold bolts of muslin for day after Thanksgiving sales. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. you used to be able to buy one of those for like 30, 40 bucks, but it would last you for years because it was an entire bolt.
Yep.
And then they stopped doing that after a while. And I was very sad because if I had known that they were going to stop doing that, I would have stocked up on more of them because I don't have any more bolts. But I am getting started. I actually did try sourcing my lightsaber.
Okay.
And the problem I ran into with that was not finding plenty of options for lightsabers.
Because there are a lot.
There are. And you get different options for like the opacity or transparency of the yep. blade. Do you want it to make noise? Do yep. you want special effects like flashing? Do you want it to be sturdy enough for full contact combat? Like there's all these options.
Do you want a rechargeable battery?
Oh yeah. Do you want to be able to insert your own kyber crystal into it?
Yep.
For appearances. The problem is in my head, I had thought that I would give her a rose gold hilt and then a gold or yellow, depending on which brand you go with, blade. It is really hard to find a rose gold.
Because it's not.
Unless you order custom.
It's not an atypical color within the Star Wars universe. It's typically a silver or a black.
Correct. And it's actually notoriously hard as well to find a gold or a yellow blade in general without getting one of the tricolor kits, which are very expensive. And it's not like this isn't going to be a full combat costume. It isn't going to be a 501st ready costume. This is a casual costume I go to wear to like comic cons and fan cons. And hey, maybe you'll recognize the character when you see the color scheme. But the other options are mostly red blades, mm-hmm. which have a specific meaning in the Star Wars universe that does not fit this character at all.
As far as Star Wars is concerned, you can be light side, dark side, and have a red blade. They don't care anymore. Jedis have red blades. Sith have blue blades. It doesn't matter anymore.
Because it actually is a lot easier to get a gold hilt.
Yes.
Just plain gold. Not rose gold. Just plain gold hilt. And you can find that with a red blade.
Uh-huh.
Or you can just get a standard like black hilt, like black chrome hilt with a red blade. Those are very available, very easy to find. And just, it sits wrong with me for this character. Like, I can't have a red blade. It has to be a gold blade.
Do it.
Even if I have to spray paint the hilt myself. There are places, obviously, that will do custom orders and will make it whatever colors you want. Mm-hmm. But they also price accordingly.
Of
like
course.
I said, this is a costume piece. This is not a collector's piece. It's not like I want to spend $500 on one of these. Plus, I have to still buy some of the fabric for the cloak and such. And so I have started sourcing these things. If anybody has recs specifically on good places or places to avoid if you've had experiences with those for purchasing lightsabers, please let me know, because I do have three places on my list. Two of them at least have been around for a while and have decent reviews, so it's just a matter of do I go with them or do I go with the third, which is newer but doesn't have as many reviews for that reason. So yeah. So I am making progress. Hopefully next episode, assuming that I find that one bag, I will actually have progress to show you.
Awesome.
Because it's not a hard piece to make. It's just a lot of fabric.
It's a lot of fabric. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
And I already have the design in my head of how I want it to look. So it will not be difficult. I do need to make a muslin though, because these are not exact replicas of a Star Wars Jedi outfit. It's going to need some editing, some serious editing where it comes to the tabard. That I'm excited. There is a convention out here in September.
Oh, cool. So, okay, good.
Fingers crossed I might actually have it done to be able to take it there.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I'm glad you get a chance to get back to sewing and crafting again, because that's always fun.
Yes. Yes, I desperately need it. I'm not looking forward to sewing a bunch of straight lines for yards and yards and yards and yards and yards. Those of you who have sewn circle skirts will understand my pain. But it is sewing, and so I will enjoy it anyway. I just need to have a nostalgia moment and go back and find some really awesome anime soundtracks and have some background music for when I do this so that I'm not paying attention to my maybe not so straight lines.
I gotta tell you, like, Jedi and Sith robes, very easy to make because it's just a bunch of long rectangles, but it's also a little monotonous at times because it's just a bunch of long rectangles. Yes.
And you have to actually pay some attention just so that you don't accidentally have the fabric buckle under you and then you end up stitching like excess fabric into one of your seams and then you have to go rip it out and redo it. I've had that happen on a couple of costumes like Athena where it's also just voluminous amounts of fabric with very, very straight seams.
Mm-hmm.
I've accidentally gotten excess fabric like buckle under the seam a couple of times when I wasn't paying attention and it's a pain in the butt to have to go redo.
It is. But, you know, it's part of the process.
But yes, so that is my update. I am actually working on things. Well, shall we move on to today's topic?
Yeah, our topic today, if you guys have looked at the show notes already, is we have an interview and a tour of a cosplay makerspace located here in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. Specifically, what makes this unique is that it is a cosplay-based makerspace. It's not like all the other makerspaces that you may have seen or experienced yourself. So, hope you all enjoy our lovely time there. Potters, we have a good treat for you today. We are here at the Cosplay Makerspace with Kirk, the founder and the owner. Kirk, thank you so much for inviting us.
Thanks for coming in.
So tell us a little bit about you and cosplay. What made you interested in wanting to make a cosplay makerspace?
Well, I've never actually particularly cosplayed myself. I just love making stuff. So my whole life, I mean, ever since I was a little kid, I always loved cartoons and what, you know, the drawings and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to draw. And when I was 21, I figured out I wanted to be an artist. And then I started, you know, doing photography and drawing. Then I wanted to play drums and then guitar. And then, you know, as new stuff came across to me, yeah, I wanted to do it. So, and when I was little, I always used to take stuff apart to see how it worked. I didn't know how to put it back together. But, you know, I always took stuff apart, which, because I was curious about how things worked,
yeah,
which, you know, now helps me when I build stuff, I know how stuff works.
So why cosplay specifically?
Because I love it. Like, I love seeing other people dressed up.
Okay.
You know, like, I always see, you know, I'm a huge Adam Savage fan, Bill Duran, you know, you name it.
Yeah.
Anybody who's done all the maker stuff, I watch mm-hmm. on a daily basis. So, and I see, like, my skill level from where I used to be is much higher now. So when mm-hmm. I make stuff, it's like, oh, you know, I know how to make stuff even better than
yeah.
it is. Well, when I see, you know, and when you see some cosplayers, beginners, stuff like that, and it's like, I'll look at their stuff. I'm like, oh, they were so close. And I want to help them take it up, you know, to make it even better.
Mm-hmm, to the next level.
Right, exactly. And that's, yeah, and that's a big reason that I have this place because, and also I love starting projects, but I hate finishing them.
Oh yeah, that's like the nightmare for every cosplayer. Right. It's like we have so many projects we start, but we never finish them.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, if you look around, I got bins of stuff that I'm working on right now. And, but with this, I can help people start stuff. And that's as far as I want to go. I'm like, hey, I got it started. And then I hand it off to somebody else, you know, and that's great for this kind of place because we can help people start stuff
yeah.
and get them going in a good direction.
Okay, cool. And you showed me some of your 3D modeling work, which was really a lot of fun. What got you interested in that?
Just 3D printing. Like,
because?
Yeah, I wanted to 3D print, and I didn't know how to 3D print.
Okay.
And I saw the technology was, you know, getting better, like good enough for me to want to buy a 3D printer.
Nice.
And I wanted to print my own stuff. I didn't want to print other people's STLs and stuff. Now, we will do that here if somebody brings in a file.
Okay.
But I've already worked on 3 or 4 projects for people where I've designed it for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to get it as faithful as I can to the source material.
Very cool.
So, yeah.
Very cool. So there are a couple of different maker spaces within the DFW area. What makes yours different?
Well, there's one in Carrollton, mm-hmm. And I've been there, and I love makerspaces because, you know, they have woodworking. You can work on your car there, metal shop, everything. Well, but to me, that's not focused. Like when a cosplayer goes in there, you know, who's there to help them, you know, because it's self-run from what I hear. It's open 24 hours. You can go in whenever you want,
mm-hmm.
but nobody's there to point anybody in the right direction.
Okay.
And I know the cosplaying community is huge, especially in Dallas.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
crazy. And I want to give people a place to be able to focus what they're doing. You know, you don't want to go, oh, I'm going to go make a costume, and then somebody's next to you in their engine, you know. And so, yeah, I wanted some place to focus on that kind of stuff, because I do love, like I said, I watch Adam Savage, Bildran, mm-hmm. people like that. And I love watching them make costumes and stuff like that. And I want to help people do that kind of stuff.
Very cool. Very cool. So what are some things that people can look forward to in this cosplay maker space?
Well, eventually we're going to have classes. I'll bring teachers in from outside, you know, different. I think I've got a leather person lined up already. Yep.
Nice.
I'd already talked to her a few days ago about possibly coming in and doing a class for some Star Wars stuff.
Very
you know?
Cool.
I know there's different factions of cosplay.
Yes.
There's anime, there's Star Wars, there's, you know, stuff like that. But I want everybody to be able to come here and, you know, and have fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And that'll be really cool too, because leatherworking is one of those where it can be applied anywhere. It's like, it may be
right.
Star Wars specific, but you can use it for anything.
Exactly.
That's really cool. And I believe that you guys are working on having some type of merchandise or a shop in here as well.
Yes, I will have, you know, foams, adhesives, you know, you name it, anything, fasteners, anything people need to put their costumes together that may be missing some stuff, you know. And eventually, again, we're just starting, so I want to start slow with everything, but I want to get that kind of stuff in. Eventually, I want to do electronics,
oh,
you know,
cool.
yeah, stuff like that. I'll have magnets for connecting stuff, you know, 3D prints and stuff like that.
So, nice.
Yeah.
And so. I think I saw on the website that eventually there will be a sewing station.
There will be. I actually possibly will be getting a sewing machine today. One of my guys that works for Rebel ScumCon, it's his brother, has a brother sewing machine that he doesn't use. He says it's still in the box.
Nice.
And I have a resin 3D printer, because we don't do resin printing here yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's too messy. You know?
Yeah.
So I told him I have an extra one at home. You know, I've had it for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'll trade you. And he said, okay. So, so I should be getting a sewing machine here soon. So that way when people come in, mm-hmm. if they want to sew, I have a sewing machine they can use.
Awesome. So for those who maybe have their own equipment at home, but maybe not enough space, are they able to kind of bring it in here and do their own work that way?
Absolutely.
Cool.
That's what this space is designed for. Some people have brought in their own sewing machines.
Cool.
Because I don't have one yet. But they brought their own in and then set up. And we had one girl, we put 5 tables together for her.
Nice.
So she could lay out everything she needed. Yeah, it was great.
All right. So if you could tell everybody, where is Cosplay Makerspace located? What are your hours? Give them the deets.
Okay. We're located in Louisville, Texas. We're right on the border of the colony. It's 2601 East State Highway 121. And that east part is very important. Yeah, because there is another 2601 someplace way down in Louisville. We've got most of it taken care of on Google Maps is accurate now. I believe Waze has us correct now.
Okay, good.
Some of them have us. Apple Maps has us located like 2 buildings that way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, we're trying to get that fixed, but it's...
it's always a challenge with Apple.
Yes, so we are on the corner of Building 1, and it's technically Louisville, but right outside the colony, 5 minutes from Grandscape. So.
Okay, and what's the website where people can look it up?
www.cosplaymakerspace.com.
Cool. Well, that's all I got. Kirk, thank you so much. This is going to be a really cool space.
Yes, I hope so.
And we are back. Thank you, Kirk, for inviting us out there so we could take a look at the space. I wanted to show this to Amber. She's seen photos. Oh, it's our microphone.
It's the Dumbbot logo.
The Dumbbot logo I made many, many years ago has now been 3D printed. Kirk was so nice. He not only did he 3D print this, he modeled this too. So he modeled this and printed it. It wasn't like that we had a model of this somewhere. And he gave us the file for it too. So if we want to do more in the future, we can. It was very nice of him. I was really, really surprised that he was able to print it completely smooth. No sanding was required. So I was like, that's really nice, really nice. That's actually one of the services that they offer too, is if you need something 3D modeled, you can pay and they will do that for you, as well as the printing on top of that. Yeah. So it's like, okay, cool. I know that they're still setting up a couple of things here and there. When I initially went to check out the place and interview, they didn't have sewing machines. They now have a sewing machine. And myself and other people have impressed upon them to get sergers, because that's the one tool that many cosplayers wish they had, but they don't really have the space for it, or they really can't afford to have multiple machines. Yeah, because when you think about sergers, sergers have a very specific use. It's a great use, but it's a very specific use. And having to flip back and forth between all of those machines, it's just not feasible. It's a space issue. It's a money issue. So it's like, okay, so get some sergers, guys. That would be really cool. And I know that they're still adding to the space, but it seems like it's really promising. It's getting a lot of buzz in the area, and hopefully it does really well for them. So yeah, thank you for the Cosplay Makerspace for inviting us out, and be sure to give them a look. All the information is in our show notes.
Makerspaces are amazing places if you've never been inside one. Mm-hmm. Even setting aside cosplay, which makes it doubly amazing that it's cosplay focused.
Right.
But any sort of makerspace is really cool. They tend to have a lot of gadgets and appliances that you may not be able to keep at home for the same reasons that Val just mentioned. But not only that, they also offer classes in how to use
yes.
them. So that way, if you do end up wanting to purchase your own eventually, because you'll use it going forward, they will teach you how to use it. And you can always bring yours into the makerspace so that they can also teach you how to use it. And the membership fees that they do charge, most of them do charge a membership fee, but it's used for the upkeep to be able to offer those classes and to be able to offer those machines. And it's a very nominal fee. It's usually something like 20, 25, maybe 30 bucks a month, which if you go in there for just twice a month, maybe 2 weeks, it pays for itself. It really does. And the people who run them tend to be very knowledgeable, supportive, mm-hmm. helpful people too.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's been my experience.
Yeah.
And so having one is already a blessing. Having a cosplay focused one is mind-blowingly
right, right.
blessing.
And they've got a ton of space. They
it's
have
so
a
hard
ton
to
of
find
tables.
Cosplay spaces.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because so much yes. of the makerspaces, not to knock the other ones, it's just they're very much geared towards any type of maker. So you'll have woodworking or wood shopping. You'll
yes.
have stuff for learning mechanics and car repair and stuff like that. So it's more of a multifaceted mm-hmm. space. The fact that this is strictly focused on cosplay-centric items means you're more likely to get the equipment, the tools, and the techniques and teaching tips from classes that is cosplay-centric. Because that's really cool.
It sounds like a good place to hold cosplay meets.
Yeah.
Where everybody gets together and works on like sewing meet kind of things, except not limited to sewing, obviously. But to have just small groups meet in there and collaborate and talk shop and share back and forth, that sounds like the place to be.
Yeah. So some of our mutual friends, I happened to meet up with them there, and we were talking about possibly using that space for meetups for sewing things in the future, because they just have, it was so much space and they would easily move the tables together to give you whatever space you need to do your work. So I was like, that's cool. Yeah.
Yes. Just please give those places a heads up if you're going to do that. Please don't suddenly just show up with 20 people. It tends to surprise them, to say the least. And so it is a kindness to just give them a heads up. Hey, you know, in mind if in 2 weeks we had a cosplay meetup there, we plan to have like 10 to 12 people. Do you have any facilities that we might be able to use, or any cool new gadgets that maybe we want to show the other cosplayers kind of thing? Very, very low key. But yes, please do support your local makerspaces if you can. Obviously, we're not saying you have to give them money or anything, but anything that you can do to help support them, if you can volunteer at them, if you can donate some of your gadgets you don't use anymore to them, as long as they're in good shape, whatever you can do, please do help support your local makerspaces. All right. With that, do we have anything else for today's episode?
That's it for today's episode.
Well, if you would like to tell us about your local makerspace, or if you have a favorite gadget that you'd like to see in a local maker's place, please feel free to let us know via any of our social media, which of course you can find here.
For those who are watching, you know the deal. Just look at our show notes, look at the information that's underneath Amber. Otherwise, if you are listening, visit us at cospod.org, on Facebook and Instagram at Cosplay Podcast, on YouTube as CosPodcast, and on Blue Sky as CosPod.
You can also email us if you're more comfortable with that, podcast@cospod.org. where you'll get an answer from each one of us, along with curated Nick Cage memes. Because yes, he is still the mascot of the show unofficially.
Yay! Thanks, Nick Cage.
A otherwise, please stay safe, stay healthy out there. Also, stay cool for those of you who are just roasting under the temperatures lately. We feel you.
Oh.
Stay inside and work on cosplay.
There you go.
So we can all see your smiling, shining faces at a convention local to us ASAP. Otherwise, we will see you next time in episode 315. Happy cosplaying, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.